can open to 1 Timothy chapter 2. While you're turning, and before we pray, I want to make mention that next Sunday, I will be starting a series. I think it'll be an extended series on being led of the Holy Spirit. And it absolutely can change the course of your life, because being led of the Spirit, that's how God leading people, is through the Holy Ghost. And the Bible invites us, our key scripture next week will be Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. That verse tells us that there's no reason we should ever falter and fail in this world.
Amen.
Because God has offered us to direct our paths in anything that we would acknowledge him on. So when it comes to marriages, when it comes to children, when it comes to finances, when it comes to jobs, when it comes to paying your bills, when it comes to physical ailments in your body, if we'll be led by the Holy Ghost, we'll get our answer.
Amen.
But we got to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're going to be teaching on. And so if you can't be here every single week, I encourage you to listen by live stream. You don't want to miss that. It'll change your life. It changed my life, and it's changed other people's lives that are in here. But let's pray for today's message. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Father, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that I would speak as the oracles of God, hitting bullseyes in people's hearts. Father, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, speaking words in season, Lord, what you want said, what you want done here today. And Father, we'll make sure to give you the praise and the glory for it. Father, we go from glory to glory. This is our appointment with you. This is our visitation with you today. We do not take it lightly, but we're excited and we're on the edge of our spiritual seats of what the Holy Spirit is going to do today, what he's going to say, what he's going to impart into our lives, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. The book of Timothy is written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, who was a young pastor. He said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, that's an emphasis, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then he gets specific in verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If you go back to verse 1, Bill, Paul telling Timothy, he stresses something to him in the letter. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all. Now when somebody like the Apostle Paul puts an emphasis on something like when he says first of all, I perk up. I pay attention. When somebody does that, they're telling you there's an importance of order. And he's saying that first of all, the very first thing I want you to know is that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He's saying it's very important. But then he says, for who in verse 2? He says, for kings and for all that are in authority. Now, we live in America. We don't have a king, but we do have a president. Amen? And we have other people that are in authority. And Paul is saying, first and foremost, to a pastor who is going to go back and teach his church, that I need you in your church first and foremost, praying for those that are in authority, for those that stand in a place of authority. Now, I'm going to say present company excluded, because I love you, and I don't want evil looks, but the majority of the time, Christians included, people are very selfish. And people only want to partake in something that will directly benefit their own life and their inner circle and that which is closest to them. And so when you hear praying for those that are in authority, and you hear praying for president and those leaders that are out in front of us, it might be tempting to say, what's my prayers going to do? What importance really is there? But if I bring it to your home and I bring it to your life, you might be more motivated to do it just like Paul did. And when you see the importance, he said, for kings and for all that are in authority, or you could say in our situation for our president, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Does anybody want a quiet and peaceable life?
Amen.
Sign me up. But Paul says, our quiet and peaceable life is put in jeopardy when the church fails to pray for leaders. If he's saying that if we'll pray for kings and those that are in authority, that we, he's saying the direct result for praying for these leaders will be a quiet and peaceable life, then you can say this, the direct result for neglecting the prayer of leaders would be the opposite of a quiet and peaceable life.
Sure. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Paul is saying here, what the body of Christ does matters. Now, what should stand out to you, and I will show you something here in a second that will bring it forward even more, is that, isn't it amazing? See, a lot of times people think, well, if a Democrat, if you're a Republican and a Democrat got elected, you'd think, oh, the world's coming to an end, or like the Democrats right now think the world's coming to an end because the Republicans are in office. But the truth is, the way things go on planet Earth is a direct result of what the church does.
Amen. Come on.
It really has little to do with who's in office if the church would take its place in authority in the earth.
That's good.
Now, you're going to see something here in the Word of God that the church actually ought to be the most powerful, dominant force on the planet. And whether or not the next 4 years go well or don't go well is going to be a direct result of what the body of Christ does or doesn't do.
Amen.
Amen. It's true. It's true. And you say, why? Well, look what he said. He said, it doesn't matter what king or who's in authority. What matters is if the people will pray, the direct result will be the people will walk into a quiet and peaceable life.
Amen.
Now, see, that matters to me because I have children. And I want myself to have a quiet and peaceable life, but more so I want them to walk into and experience a quiet and peaceable life. And so not only will we see ramifications of praying for our leaders, but also within today's message, you'll see, wow, as a member of the body of Christ, I stand in quite a bit of authority. Amen. We have the opportunity to make sure the next 4 years are quiet and peaceable in our lives. Amen. Go to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now this is something we don't talk about a lot, but we need to. Paul said, first of all, he wouldn't have told that to Timothy if it wasn't important. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. We ought to be praying for our president.
Amen.
We ought to be praying for our president-elect who's coming into office. You know, the thing is, and we'll get to it in a second, is regardless if you agree or disagree with what happened, it is what it is, and it's time to get on board with what the Word says to do.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll see something in a second here. But go with me to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. It says, in whom the God, notice the God there is not capitalized, it's lowercase, the God of this world. Where do you live right now? This world. The God of this world. So the Bible says there is a God of this world. Well, let's find out who it is, because a lot of Christians think that's our Heavenly Father, but our Heavenly Father, number one, would be capitalized.
Right.
But then look, the rest of the verse tells us it can't be our Heavenly Father, because it says the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, we know God wouldn't blind people's minds from receiving Jesus, because back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4, he said he wants all men to be saved. He gave Jesus for everybody. So who is the God of this world that's blinding unbelievers' eyes from receiving Jesus? The devil, Satan. It's the devil. Now, that might come as a shock, and don't get all worried and nervous. But the devil, the Bible calls, is the god of this world. In the book of Ephesians, the Bible calls him the prince, What's a prince? Someone in authority, someone in leadership. The prince of the power of the air. Remember when he took Jesus in Luke chapter 4? The Bible says Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness for 40 days. He took Jesus up on a high pinnacle of a mountain. And the devil said, in a moment's time, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them. Remember that? And he said to Jesus, he said, if you'll fall down and worship me, all of this will be yours. Everything in the world. Well, number one, you might think, well, the devil was lying. He doesn't have that to give. Well, he does have that to give because he goes on to say, for that which you see has been delivered unto me. Well, when was it delivered unto him? On a silver platter in the Garden of Eden by Adam and Eve. When God told Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1, he said, I give you dominion. God was saying, I'm taking my authority on planet Earth, and I am no longer harnessing it. I'm giving it to you, Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve then became the gods of this world. But then Adam and Eve obeyed the devil. In Romans, in the book of Romans, which the New Testament sheds light on the Old Testament, it tells us that whoever we obey, we make ourselves servants to that which we obey. When they obeyed the devil, they were in turn saying, we are no longer under the dominion of our Father. We are now going to obey you and turn the authority over to you. That's when it was delivered to him. And another thing about Luke chapter 4, when the devil said, all these things I will give to you, the Bible says Jesus was led to be tempted. It would not have been a temptation if it wasn't the devil's to give. Do you know that Jesus was tempted to fall on his knees and worship Satan that day? Now, the difference is he didn't do it, praise God. Hallelujah. So it doesn't make him wrong. But the Bible says he was tempted. Well, the Bible says he was in all ways tempted as we are. Amen. He was tempted to do wrong things. He just never succumbed to it. So we know this, that the Bible says the devil is the god of this world. That's why the planet's in such a mess. God is not sending the tornadoes. God is not sending the hurricanes. God is not the reason that millions of children around the world are suffering and starving. Your heavenly Father's not sitting up in heaven with the ability to change that and doing nothing about it. If he was, I would not be preaching about how wonderful he is.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. The Bible says God is love. But see, God is also not a man that he should lie. He cannot violate his word. And if he gave the dominion and authority to Adam and Eve, it was up to them to do whatever they wanted with it. They gave it to the devil. But thank God Jesus came and paid the price, defeated death, hell, and the grave. And so now where we stand is we as Christians live. I don't have time to teach on all this, but if you go back and look at some of our authority messages online, you'll see that this is the case, that now we stand as Christians in a world run by the devil, but we have authority over anything the devil does through what Jesus did for us on the cross.
Amen.
He stripped the devil of all power on the cross, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2. So we now stand in authority. John Wesley said this, founder of the Methodist Church. I grew up in the Methodist Church, so I can speak on the Methodist Church without looking like I'm trying to bash the Methodist Church. But the way the Methodist Church is now is not the way the Methodist Church started. The Methodist Church started Holy Ghost on fire, praying in tongues, signs, wonders, and miracles. Now all that stuff has been pushed out the door and is not allowed to be taught, at least in the Methodist Church that I grew up in. But John Wesley, the founder of that, a Holy Ghost roller, he said this. He said, it seems as though God can do nothing on planet Earth until somebody asks him. And it's true. He can't do anything on planet Earth until somebody asks him to do so. Praise God. We know this. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20. Paul said, pray that quiet and peaceable life. The church needs to be praying.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 20, it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now notice this. Remember, Satan's the god of this world. But the Bible says that he put Jesus far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that is named. Not only in this world, but in that which is to come. He's saying that Jesus, that principalities, powers, might, and dominion, those are the levels of the devil's kingdom. The Bible says that Jesus has been placed above those, saying Jesus, and we would not disagree, would we? To say, does Jesus have authority over the devil? We'd all say, yes. We know he does. Praise God. We saw him cast the devil out in his ministry. We saw that Jesus saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven in Luke chapter 10. We saw that Jesus gave the authority to those 70 believers. He said, go out, cast out devils in my name. Praise God. And now he says that Jesus has been placed far above the devil. But then it goes on to say in verse 22, has put all things under his feet, Jesus' feet, and gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all. Oh, now let me ask you a question. Are my body and my head might be two different body parts, but when I come into a room, do you say, hey, there's Pastor Mike's head. Oh, look, Pastor Mike's body decided to come too. No, you say, hey, there's Pastor Mike. But there's a head and there's a body. Same with Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is the head, but we're the body. But the head and the body are not separate. The head and the body are one. And so if Jesus was raised above all principality and power, we being his body, in Ephesians 2 it tells us the same thing, we were raised with him in authority over the same things. So my point is this. If the devil runs planet Earth, which he does and why it's in a mess, and no matter who gets elected or what happens in our elections, if the Bible tells us, if we'll pray for those in authority, whether you agree with them, whether they tickle your fancy, whether you like them, whether you voted for them or not, if we as the body of Christ who hold the authority over the devil, because we're far above him, that no matter what schemes and tricks and plans he tries to do, if we as the body would get together and use our authority and pray, the result would be a quiet and peaceable life no matter who's in office.
Amen.
Praise God. And so we know that this is the case. Think about this for a second. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that God wants all people to be saved. We know that. Well, how does somebody get saved? Salvation does not fall into somebody's lap. You have to believe to be saved, right? The Bible says if you believe on Jesus, you're saved. Well, how do you believe? Romans 10 and verse 17 says, by faith comes or belief comes by hearing the word. So to believe, you had to hear the word. Well, to hear the word, somebody had to speak the word.
Amen.
Well, who's the speaker of the word? The laborers that are out ministering the word of God. So if salvation, which God wants for everybody, is the result of what Jesus did on the cross, if that's the end result, but the beginning of salvation is someone's got to say it, why then in Matthew chapter 9, if God could do whatever he wanted on the earth, why then in Matthew chapter 9 did Jesus say, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest field? Don't you think? Because the laborers are the ones that are speaking it. When they speak it, people hear it, people believe it, and then people receive it. Don't you think that if God could just send laborers out himself and not leave it up to people who he knows fail, who he knows stumble, who he knows drag their feet, if he knows salvation always begins with somebody going forth and speaking it, why wouldn't God just send forth laborers by himself if he could? It's because he can't. He says, I need people to pray, because the devil, if anything, the devil's going to try to hinder laborers going forth, because he knows that's the beginning of salvation.
That's right.
And so he's going to try to hinder it. God can't do anything in heaven till somebody asks. So he tells us in his word, ask me. Ask me. Ask me for people to go forward, because when you ask me, my hands are untied. Why? Because you are the authority down here. The church is the authority down here. The devil might hinder, but if you'll ask me, my hands will be untied, and I'll send forth laborers out there. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it's the same way. You say, what in the world does me praying have anything to do with a quiet and peaceable life? Apparently, everything.
Amen.
Because when we pray, all the plans and schemes of the enemy get thwarted by we have authority over him. But when the body of Christ drags its feet and doesn't do what it's supposed to do, that's when the devil can have his way. But here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. Go to Mark 3 and verse 24. Mark 3 and verse 24. Hallelujah. You'll have to forgive me if I get on a soapbox today. You know, getting on a soapbox is good when you're short because it makes you taller. And you can see me better. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark 3 and verse 24 says this, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand." What kingdom are we? We are the kingdom of God. Amen. We are the ones on the planet. Think about it. Sinners have no idea that whether or not quiet and peace invade this country has everything to do with a believer. They don't know it, but it's the truth. You don't realize, being a part of the body of Christ, how much authority and power you have. The church has been told for the longest time that we're just the scum of the earth, that we're just lowly weasels waiting to get to our reward in heaven. That's not true. God has equipped us to dominate down here, to rule over sickness, to rule over depression, to rule over poverty. Why? Because we're the light of the world. The world needs to look in a dark world run by the devil. He is darkness. We ought to stand out, stick out like sore thumbs as prosperous, joyful, victorious, energetic, faithful, right? Christians who are full of faith in the midst of the storm. Praise God. And that's what God's equipped us to do. We just haven't taken our place. But the Bible says if a kingdom's divided against itself, it cannot stand. So what does that have to do with today's message? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I see the Bible says to pray, and I'm going to talk mostly about President-elect Trump because President Obama is on his way out. We're about to get a new president, although we should still be praying for him and should have been praying for him. But as President Trump comes in, the Bible tells us we ought to be lifting him up in prayer. And I'll tell you some certain things you can pray at the end of the message for your leader. We ought to be lifting him up in prayer. But here's the problem. I don't know whether or not, I've not seen it so much within our churches, and I'm just telling you right now that Olean and South Dayton, we're going to be a united front. We will not be divided because we cannot stand when we are divided. But I've seen all over the media, I've seen on social media, Christians absolutely divided and opposed on this subject.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. Now, here's the thing about it. Regardless of when you went into the polling place and whatever and whoever you voted for, doesn't matter now. It is what it is. Get on board with the word.
Amen.
The Bible didn't ask you to pray for your leader if you agree with them. The Bible didn't ask you to pray for your leader if you voted for them. The Bible said those that are in authority, pray for them. If you don't, quiet and peace are in jeopardy. Now get ready, because here comes Pastor Mike's soapbox.
Amen.
Because ladies and gentlemen, this is just the truth. People let culture, people let race, people let emotions, people let opinions get in the way when they vote. You are not black, you are not white first, you are not Republican first, you are not Democrat first, you are Christian first.
Amen.
We ought to, now again, I don't know how or how you voted or whatever you did. This is up to you, and you need to stand before Jesus someday. But the issues alone ought to tell a Christian who and who not to vote for. God is not backing the killing of millions of unborn children. He's not behind that. The word is clear. He's not behind the people that absolutely bash the sanctity of marriage and make a mockery of what he instituted back in the garden when he said a man and a woman ought to be together. He's not backing that. Now again, I'm not telling you how to vote. You follow your own conscience. But I'll tell you what. You need to be careful with what you say. That which what you support. A lot of people do it in absolute ignorance. I've talked to people and they'll bash. And I'll say, you do realize you're supporting somebody that believes and stands with the murder of millions upon millions of unborn children. And they have no idea. And just because they hear different things, I'm not saying that one is perfect and one is not perfect, but there is a weight.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's just the truth, folks. And why am I telling you? Because it's better that you hear this from me than when you stand face to face with Jesus. And he wonders, what in the world were you doing? What in the world are you supporting? Amen. Come on. Do not shout me down because I'm preaching real good right now. I'm telling you, again, I'm not here to preach politics, and I'm not here to tell you who to vote for, but we vote according to the Holy Ghost. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. There's only one Holy Ghost.
That's right. Come on.
Did anybody that's bashing one or the other ever bother to get the opinion of God? Or did people just say, you know what? I don't like that personality. I don't like that person. I don't like that where that person's family came from. I don't like what that person did. It doesn't matter what you like or don't like. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. God's thoughts are not your thoughts, and God's ways are not your ways. Amen. Hallelujah. Did anybody ask? I mean, you see people, Christians, posting stuff, bashing Donald Trump, supporting Donald Trump. Well, wait a second. We all have the same daddy. We all have the same spirit on the inside of us. We ought to, no matter what you thought before the election, bygones be bygones, let it go, and get on the same page now. Because he's in whether you like it or don't like it. And now our job is to pray. And if we don't use our authority together, oh, the quiet and peaceable life. The quiet and peaceable life will be in jeopardy. Praise God. I want quiet. Now, let me just help people. For those of you here, and I don't know of anybody here that would say that whether you did or didn't, I'm saying I don't know. I'm not saying that you should have or shouldn't have, but I don't know who people voted for. I don't know who supports Donald Trump, who doesn't support Donald Trump. That doesn't matter to me. But people will say, Pastor, could God really use a man like that? Listen, I'm not here to tell you. I agree with everything the man said. In fact, sometimes he says stuff like, ugh, ooh, just kind of turn my, I don't want to hear, right? Can God use somebody like that, that's so brash and appears to be so arrogant? Well, let me tell you something. Go with me to Isaiah 45 and verse 1. Isaiah 45 and verse 1. Isaiah 45 and verse 1. Because you'll be more apt to want to pray for him, especially when you realize it affects your own life, but to pray for him even if you don't support him, when you understand that God may have just been the driving force to put him into office. Now, you find out from God yourself. I have my own convictions, and I believe I've heard things from the Lord, but I'm not here to preach my own convictions. You find out from God. If you want to know bad enough, you ask him. But I'll tell you this, it's a miracle that he's in office. They're still trying to figure out how in the world this happened. Amen? And I know one guy that's a part of miracles, and his name's God. Now, whether or not he did it or didn't do it, doesn't matter. He's in, and our job is to pray. But let me show you something, because if you are completely anti our next president, at least you can see God can use people that appear on the surface to be ungodly. Absolutely. Amen. You know, would it be great to have a Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, faith-moving mountain president in there? Yeah. Absolutely. But it's not necessary. How do I know? If Isaiah 45 and verse 1, look what it says. Thus says the Lord to his anointed. Everybody say his anointed.
His anointed.
God calls this gentleman that he's talking about his anointed. Now look who he's talking about. Cyrus. Whose right hand I have holden. What he's saying is, whose right hand I am the one that's holding it up. To subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loin of kings to open before him two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before Cyrus and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, which call you by your name, Cyrus, and the God of Israel. Now notice this. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have surnamed you. Now notice this. Even though you have not known me. Cyrus wasn't even a Jew. Cyrus wasn't even an Israelite. Yet God raised up an ungodly man, and if you look at it and you study the life of Cyrus, he was used to bring great deliverance and great blessing to the kingdom of Israel. Could Donald Trump be our modern day Cyrus? Where on the surface, let's face it, folks, when he threw his hat in the ring, people laughed him to scorn until he went through all 16 Republican nominees that wanted to be president like a hot knife through butter, and people started to realize, we might want to take this guy a little more serious. But could it be God raising him up for this day, this hour? Hallelujah. You know, Ronald Reagan was an amazing president. I mean, he was a Hollywood guy. God was with him, and look at the success and the blessing the nation had under Ronald Reagan. Could Donald Trump be a modern-day Cyrus, where it looks like somebody with no experience, where it looks like somebody that's, I mean, ungodly, that just says anything, that things from his past come out that just make you cringe, that make you wonder, how am I going to tell my kids about this guy? Could he be a modern-day Cyrus? Well, I'll tell you what it's going to depend on, you and me.
Yeah, that's right.
Whether or not he is or not will depend on you and me.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen. Now listen, I know what people always say, don't talk about politics or religion. Well, we're in a church, so we're going to talk about religion.
Yeah, amen.
And we're in a church that told us to pray for our leaders, so I guess we're going to talk about politics too.
Yeah.
And because it gets so touchy, and why I'm saying that is because there might be people in here that you say, that's it, I'm done going to that church, that idiot likes Donald Trump. Hallelujah, I didn't tell you that, although I'm glad he won. Praise God, I said it! I said it! Yep. But the issues would have told you what I voted for.
Yeah.
I don't care who it was. It wouldn't matter what his name was.
Yeah.
The issues tell me who I vote for.
Praise God.
I'm not going to have blood on my hands when I stand before Jesus.
Right.
I am not going to have blood on my hands when I stand before Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Anyways, could he be a modern day Cyrus? Well, it's going to be up to the church. Go to Matthew 18 and verse 18. And why I'm saying that is it gets touchy, and people might say, well, you know, Pastor, I can't stand him, and I don't care what you say. Well, you better stop that and get off of your high horse and get on the Bible's high horse.
That's right.
Because the word says to do it, whether or not you agree with it or not.
Right.
Hallelujah. Matthew 18 and verse 18, he says, verily, now notice this, see what power you have here. We don't realize this, not only for the church, but your personal life. Look at this. Remember how Pastor Mike always says how your life turns out has more to do with you than God?
Amen.
Oh, wait till you read this. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth, heaven will back you.
Yeah.
Whatever you bind on earth, heaven will back you. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What's he saying? Whatever you bind, heaven will back you. Whatever you loose, heaven will back you. If you're not binding stuff, heaven's not backing you. If you're not loosing stuff, heaven's not backing you. What's he saying? Heaven's backing depends on you.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The church's authority. If we pray for the quiet, peaceable life like the Bible promises us, it'll come to pass. Why? That's what we're loosing. We're loosing the Word of God into the atmosphere. Praise God. Verse 19, again I say unto you, that if two of you, the power of two, my God, if two of you, agreement is powerful in the Word of God, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Imagine if the body of Christ, pro-Trump, anti-Trump, would say, you know what? It is what it is. He's our president. Paul said to Timothy, pray for our leaders, regardless if we agree or don't agree, in the body of Christ, actually stood in the authority that it has, got on the same page, lifted that man and his family up. What years of blessing and quiet and peace we could experience on this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Now go with me. You might think, oh, I don't know. I'm not buying into this power of the church thing, because you might say, oh, no, no, I can't stand him so much. He's so bad. He's going to tear this country apart. Not if the church doesn't let him. Not if the church doesn't let them. That's the kind of power we have. Go to Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Let me say something because it's coming up in my spirit and I need to address it. I don't know everybody's past. Listen, I have a past. I have a past that would tell me I can't be here today, but the Word says I can. If you're here and you've ever had an abortion, let me tell you something. There's forgiveness for that. And let me tell you something. That baby's in heaven. Amen? That baby's in heaven. And you'll be reunited with that child again someday. But if you've ever had, you don't let the devil bombard you. You might not have known what you know now. You might not have stood in the place of awareness that you do now. You might not have had the Holy Ghost, and even if you did, the Bible says we all fall and we all stumble. The only thing you need to do is to tell the Father you're sorry for it. Forget that it ever happened. When the devil brings it to you, say, "Oh, devil, that child's fine, waiting for me in heaven, and we're going to have a reunion someday." Praise God. The Bible says he'll forgive you of all unrighteousness.
Right.
All unrighteousness. Don't let the devil tell you that you did something so bad that you could never be forgiven and you're a horrible person. It's not true.
Right.
It's not true. Remember, your way you live, just like it is if you are anti-Donald Trump, you don't live by those feelings. You pray for him because the Word says so. You might feel like you're the worst person, and you might have taken those thoughts, but the Bible says you're as clean as snow.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's forgiveness for anything anybody has ever done. Hallelujah. And it's important that people know that. Acts chapter 12, in verse 1. Now look at the power the church has. Because my hope is that we would leave here today on our faces praying for this man and his family. Why? My children's peace depend on it. The kids in this church, peace depend on it. The people sitting next to you, their quiet life and peaceable life depend on us doing this. I believe that small pockets in the body of Christ are going to raise up. Because even if you do or don't believe that it was a great victory for the church in this past election, whether you agree with that or don't agree with that, we can go forward and have great victory in the church. But it doesn't stop at the election.
Amen.
Because let's just say it this way before I get to this. Let's say that God is raising up a modern day Cyrus. Whether you believe it or not believe it, we know the devil's at work here. But I want to say, if God's hand was behind everything and made it happen where it's just baffled people, how could this man get into office? If God is the driving force behind it, don't you think the devil knows that?
Oh, yeah.
And don't you think the devil would put two and two together and think, if God wants him in office, it must be for a reason.
Right.
So don't you think the devil's activity would actually increase in the earth and increase against the office of the presidency? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, it would. So if any time, now's the time where we need to step up and pray regardless of our feelings and our opinions. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex or kill certain of the church. So Herod's going to kill people in the church. Well, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what the devil does. So we know it's not people we wrestle against, but we know that people are motivated by evil spirits. So the devil was no doubt behind wanting to vex or kill certain people of the church. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Now, for those of you that don't know who this James was, this was one of the original 12 disciples who went with Jesus everywhere for 3.5 years. But not only was he one of the 12, which would have been amazing in and of itself, when Jesus would go do special things, he brought 3 of them with him: Peter, James, and John. He was always pulling those 3 guys aside. Why? They must have had a little extra jack on them. Amen? They must have had a little extra something on them for him to pull them aside. Well, this was James, one of the top 3 leaders in the body of Christ at this time. Herod, no doubt motivated by the devil would know who's in charge, goes after James. And the Bible says he killed him. What? How in the world would that happen? Verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Well, of course he would. You cut the head off, right? You kill the snake when you cut the head off. Well, one of the three heads in the body of Christ at that time were Peter, James, and John. He got James. Now he's going for Peter. And when he, verse 4, had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter was therefore kept in prison. So he's getting ready to be killed. But notice this. Peter was kept in prison, but. Oh, there was no but for James. But there was a but for Peter. But prayer. But prayer. Everybody say, but prayer.
But prayer.
But prayer. You see? It's crazy because even in the popular vote, he's down almost 2 million now. And so we could say it this way, that even the majority of the popular vote in America are saying the country's going to heck. The country's gonna absolutely be ruined. The country, we can't stand what's going to happen. But see, that will all be true, but prayer.
Yeah, amen.
But prayer will make it. For those people, we can make it for those people that it wouldn't happen that way if the church will pray. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church or by the church unto God for him. So James, nobody prayed for. They probably thought James is one of the top three. He'll get out of this. He's okay. He's going to come back. And we've seen people delivered before, but they didn't do anything about it. When they saw that James was killed, it woke him up. It woke the church up. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be woken up in the day and time that we're living in. The fact that that verse that we started with today tells you that your peace and quietness depend on your prayers ought to wake you up. Do not leave it up to the politicians in Washington. We control our destiny on planet Earth. Not somebody who sits in the White House. Not somebody who's a member of Congress or the Senate. We control our destiny.
Amen.
Amen. And if we'll rally together and come together and pray, well, they prayed for Peter. And what happened? Verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. Now let me ask you, do you think God was behind the deliverance of Peter?
Amen.
Oh yeah, sent angels on the scene. Why didn't God, well first let me ask you, do you think God liked Peter more than James?
No.
Just because God likes me the best doesn't mean that he liked one of them the best. God didn't like Peter more than James. God didn't have anything against James. James was his beloved child. But why couldn't God do anything? Do you think God wanted to deliver James? Of course he did. Of course he wanted to. But why couldn't he? His hands were tied. Why? Because the God of this world's in control. And if the God of this world wants to do stuff, he can do stuff until the Christian does something. Oh, the God of this world can work through our president. He can work through the office at the White House. Absolutely. Until the Christian says, no, you don't. No, you don't, devil. Praise God. And we see it matters. It matters that the church prayed. When the church prayed, he was delivered. It'll matter when the church prays. So, with that being said, what do we do? This will be quick. Are you ready? Go to Romans 13 and verse 1. Bill, would you pull that up in the Amplified? And I'm going to read down through verse 7. And as I get to each verse, if you could just go with me as I read. Romans 13 and verse 1. Number 1, what do? We don't speak against our president. You say, who are you to tell me that? The Bible's going to tell you that in a second. Hold your horses. Let every person, now this might wake some people up because you'll be surprised. I've had to repent for this before, by the way. Let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil authorities. For there is no authority except from God by his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment. Verse 2. Therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against the authorities, Facebook, Twitter, phone calls, gossip. Come on. I've seen it from born-again Christians. I think you don't know what you're doing to yourself. Who resists and sets himself up against the authorities. Notice this. Resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them. Verse 3. For civil authorities are not a terror to people of good conduct, but to those of bad behavior. Would you have no dread of him who is in authority? Then do what is right, and you'll receive his approval and commendation. Verse 4. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, see, stop blaming the presidents for what they do and start blaming the church for what happens. Because the church controls its own destiny. Right. You should dread and be afraid, for he does not bear and wear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant to execute his wrath, punishment, vengeance, and wrongdoer. Verse 5. Therefore, one must be subject, not only to avoid God's wrath and escape punishment, but also as a matter of principle and for the sake of conscience, verse 6. For this same reason you pay taxes, for the civil authorities are official servants under God, devoting themselves to attending this very service, verse 7. Render to all men their dues, pay taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. You might not like the man or the woman, but the office that the man or the woman stands in demands honor. It demands respect. According to the word. According to the word. Now, we're not talking about hero worship. And again, we're also not talking about, listen, I don't care what president would tell me to do. If they tell me to do something, or law enforcement agency, if they try to get me to disobey the word, that's when I don't obey them. That's when I don't have respect for them, and that's when I don't have to do what they say, when they try to tell me to do things that are anti-Bible. I follow the Bible before a president. I follow a Bible before a law. Amen? But the Bible does tell us to respect those that are put in authority, to not resist them, and to pray for them. So number one, don't speak negatively about them. You're resisting them when you do, and the Bible says when you resist them, you're resisting God. Amen. Amen. I know it's a lot to swallow because we like our president jokes. We like bashing our people in authority. We like those kind of things, right? They're sitting up there. We just like to be able to pick them off. Well, I'll tell you what, the Bible says you reap what you sow. Man's got quiet in here. It must have got heavy all of a sudden. If I'm preaching anything other than the Bible, you tell me. It might go against people's principal beliefs and what they voted for and what they think. Well, Pastor, you might have something against President Trump. You might have something against President Obama. And you might say, yeah, but Pastor, they stand for this and stand for that. I didn't say you had to be agreeable what they stood for, but you do need to honor. And you do need to not speak negatively about them. The Bible says render honor actually to all people and to pray for them. Hallelujah. Number one, don't speak against your leader. Number two, pray for your leader. Now, I'm going to give you some things to be praying for. Are you ready?
Amen.
Pray that if your leaders are not born again, that they would receive salvation. That God would send somebody that they would listen to. Because number one, first and foremost, we don't want anybody going to hell. Amen? Amen. And mercy and love prays for the salvation of somebody that you might not even be able to stand because you don't want anybody to burn in hell. You might say, oh, I sure do. No, you don't. If you knew anything about hell, you wouldn't want anybody, your worst enemy, to go there. You might think you do, but if you can say, I do, you don't have a revelation of what hell's like. Pray that they're born again. Pray that God would surround them with godly people. Pray that God would surround them with godly people. Praise the Lord. Also praying for their salvation, I pray for their safety of their family and their children. Hallelujah. Pray that God would surround them with godly leaders, with people that they would listen to. Pray that God's will would be accomplished in the earth through that person. Your will be done, Father. Your will be done. Pray that whoever's in leadership would show favor towards the believer and what the believer stands for. See, if we all get, see, this is all stuff that's biblical. If we all get together and pray for this, the Bible says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Amplified says makes tremendous power available. Amen. Let's start sending power towards the White House. That whoever's in office, whether it would have been Hillary or whether it would have been Donald Trump, whoever gets into that office is going to work on the behalf of the Christian and for the plan of God to be executed on the earth. Amen? Now, last but not least, and I can't emphasize this enough, be praying in tongues for your president. You say, why would we pray in tongues for our president? Well, the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, in Romans chapter 8, you're praying according to the perfect will of God. That's what's so wonderful about praying in tongues. Your doubt and unbelief in your mind can't get in the way. In 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 4, it says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. It is a talk directly to the Father, where the devil cannot get involved. Why do you think the devil fights praying in tongues so hard? Because he cannot get involved. Why do you think during times of war, think about this, times of war, they'd have things like Morse code? Or the Germans had the Germans Enigma and all their little codes that they used for their battleships and stuff that people were trying to break the code. Why did they have secret codes? Because they didn't want to just come over the loudspeaker and say, hey, we're going to be attacking this place on this day at this time. Why? Because then they'd be ready for it. So they do it secretly, and then the opposition can't get in on it, and it's a surprise attack. Why do you think God made tongues? Because the devil, when you pray in English, hears what you're praying and can set things out in front of you to try to hinder you. But when you pray in tongues, the Bible says nobody understands it but God. And it frustrates the devil to be on the outside looking in. Because you're praying the perfect will of God and things are being set in motion and the devil has no idea what to do. Amen. Why do you think it's so fought? Let me ask you this. Go real quick because we're on a rabbit trail here. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. And we'll close it down here. About praying in tongues for a leader. When we read this verse, I'm going to ask a question. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Our greatest example of a Christian stands up in front of the Corinthian church and eternally records for all of time that not only is he a tongue talker, but that he's thankful that he's a tongue talker, but he's thankful that he talks in tongues more than everybody. So he's not only just a tongue talker, that's all that's coming out of that man's mouth most of the time, is tongues. So why then, if that's in the Bible, and Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, they that believe shall speak with new tongues. Why, if those verses are in the Bible, why are not every church shouting tongues from the rooftops? Why? Why have Christians actually come out and written books saying why you shouldn't speak in tongues? Why are prominent Christians who I could tell you their names and every single person in this room would know their name, I could tell you who are having conferences with thousands of people preaching against the move of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Why in the world is that going on? Because the devil's got involved. Because he's planted thoughts into people's minds. Because the word is clear on the subject. But the devil, that's why you ought to be praying in tongues more than you're praying in English. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to be praying in tongues more than you're praying in English. Because you can only go so far in English. And it's like, what do I say? My mind gets involved, but pray in tongues. You go for hours. You iron your clothes, just pray in tongues. Driving in your car, taking a shower, making breakfast, right? Laying in bed, you can't sleep at night. Instead of counting sheep, you're praying in tongues. Praise God. And when you're doing it, the Bible says you're praying according to the perfect will of God. Oh, that drives the devil nuts. So be praying in tongues for the president, because there's things that we don't know what is the will of God, but when we pray together corporately as a body, God's plan can be executed. Just because God has a plan on the earth doesn't mean it'll happen. Just because God has a plan on the earth doesn't mean it'll happen. It's the truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, anyways, we see Jeremiah. Daniel had prophecies. Jeremiah prayed them out. They weren't automatically going to happen on the earth. God's plan doesn't automatically come to pass. Well, God might have a plan for this president, but until the church prays. So, amen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm challenging you and encouraging you every single day, set aside some time to lift up the president that's still in office. Pray for him as he's going out of office. The president that's coming into office. Pray those things we said and set aside. What if the whole body of Christ set aside 5 minutes a day to pray in tongues by faith? Because it's not happening now. Imagine all the extra power that would be made available for him to do God's will. So whether or not you agree with President-elect Trump or don't agree, he's the one coming in. Let's all get behind him. And let's pray for our family's sake, for our friend's sake, for our body of Christ family's sake. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We glorify you. Now, Father, we're going to be doers of the word right now. We're going to be doers of the word right now. Just go ahead and you can either pray in your seat or you can just join me in agreement. But, Father, number one, Father, we lift up President Obama and his family. And, Father, we just pray that if he's not saved, they say that they are, but a lot of people say that they are. I'm not questioning, only you would know that. But, Father, we pray for him and his daughters. If they're not born again, Father, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Lord. I pray that you'd send somebody that they would listen to. And, Father, I pray that President Obama would be surrounded with godly people and that the little time he has left, Father, I pray, Lord, that only what he would do would benefit the body of Christ. That, Father, he wouldn't be able to make any decisions or any judgments that would go against the church or your plan, Father God. And, Lord, we pray for President-elect Trump and his family. Father, if he's not born again, he says that he is, but if he's not, Father, that he and his children and his family would not pass from this earth till they've received Jesus as Lord. Send laborers across their path. And Father, we pray that he would be surrounded with godly people that have the wisdom of God. Father, we pray that you would give the believer favor with his presidency. And Father, we pray that your plan on this earth would be executed through his presidency. Father, we thank you that as a result of us praying for our leaders like you told us to do, Father, we will live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So, Father, we thank you right now for peace. We thank you for a quiet life here in America. We thank you, America's turning around. Come on, thank him for it. Because not because of a man getting into office, but because of the church standing up and taking its place in authority. Because it doesn't matter, even if Donald Trump is your man, Father, if the church doesn't pray, it won't matter anyways. So we thank you. The church is going to take its place and release faith. We glorify you and magnify you. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Nobody looking around. Everybody that can hear my voice, ask yourself this question with your eyes closed, with your head bowed. If today were your last day on planet Earth, would you go to heaven? Ask yourself that right now. If the answer isn't a 100%, yes, I know I would go to heaven, then listen to me carefully. The Bible says that when you die, you either go to be with Jesus or you go to where the devil's going to spend eternity, which is hell. There's a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. But praise God, he didn't create hell for us. He created heaven. And he gave us a bridge to him, and the bridge's name is Jesus. And the Bible says if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, the Bible says if you accept him and ask him into your heart, that you will be saved and will not perish. Heaven will be your eternal destination when you pass from this earth. But not only that, God will become your Father here on earth, and he will bless you and take care of you and provide for you and help you and guide you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure that I would go to heaven if today were my last day. Well, my goodness, don't be unsure anymore. If you can say, I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I want him to come into my life, you are a qualified candidate for salvation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't have anyone come forward or anybody stand up or say anything on your own. Eyes are closed and heads are bowed. If you want to receive Jesus and know for sure that when your last day on earth is up, you're going to be with him, would you raise your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus? I see those two hands. You can put them down. Anybody else? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? Don't let this day pass you by. I'll tell you, if you might be on the fence of eternity, get off the fence of eternity. Get over onto the good side. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we had a few hands raised here this morning. Now, let me encourage you. If you raised your hand today, you'll never have to do it again. Once you ask him to come into your heart, he said, I'll never leave you. If you miss it, if you screw up, if you disobey him, you don't have to get re-saved. All you have to do is ask him to forgive you. But for those people that raised their hands, or those that should have, or those that are listening right now by live stream or in the future, and you want to receive Jesus, along with everybody else in the church, let's go ahead and invite the Lord in right now. Everybody say this. Say, Dear Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross
for my sins.
I believe that you rose again
from the dead.
And I ask you
to come into my heart.
Thank you
for saving me.
Thank you for being so good to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's be praying for our president. Amen. Don't forget, we have goodies over in the old sanctuary. Don't forget, Wednesday night, we have service. I have to leave right after service. I'm not ignoring you. I don't hate you. I love you. I have to get going. But we'll see you Wednesday night. It's going to be good. It'll be our next visitation and appointment from God. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great rest of the day. Every soul.